Hey everybody, welcome again to another Highfalutin Ski Bum podcast. This is episode 69. It is your pals, Mario and Brian. Mario, what's going on?
69, it's the perverted number, but it's a good number for us. That's a lot of episodes to have.
This is true. We are storming towards episode number 100.
Yeah, 70 is a big one too. That's going to be a big one.
It's a humdinger, as they say.
It'll be right after the election.
That's true.
That is the weed election.
That is true. So yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. Please check us out, skibumpodcast.com. There you can get all of our information. Please go to iTunes and Stitcher and whatever your favorite iTunes or podcast apps are and subscribe and rate us. We'd really appreciate it. You can also write to us at skibumpodcast@gmail.com, which several of you have been doing, so thank you very much. We appreciate the love. Twitter.com/skibumpodcast, Instagram.com/skibumpodcast, Facebook.com/skibumpodcast, and good old Pinterest, where you can find us as the Highfalutins.
Yeah, we got to spend more time on Pinterest. I got to create more.
Yeah, we need an intern for that.
We need an intern.
I'm not going to spend time on Pinterest. I'll tell you that right now.
We have to get the free intern that is going to help us out.
That's true. Free interns. Hit us up. skibumpodcast@gmail.com if you want to get some experience.
So what are we talking about this week, Bri?
This week, we went to the Warren Miller movie premiere Here, There, and Everywhere in Morristown, New Jersey. And we also watched, we had a private screening, actually, of Tanner Hall's Ring the Alarm.
Very nice screening.
We're talking about some ski movies this week that we saw.
Food, little cocktails, little private screening. It was nice.
It was quite lovely. But before that.
No, I'm pretty full.
I'm very full. Drinking coffee at 11 p.m. right now to motor through this for you guys.
I'm going to break out the monster soon.
Oh, yeah. So that's about that time, isn't it?
About that time. But before that time, it's... Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's time where you usually hear the ice chilling in the glass and it's swirling around.
That's true. It's the upgrade today. So, Mario, what are you partaking in this lovely evening?
So my operate today is the Citrus Limbo IPA.
Mm.
So from Long Trail, Vermont, which is right next to Killington.
We love Long Trail.
And I tell you what, I was looking for this for a while, and apparently even Beer Advocate doesn't have it on their site, so I guess they just released it. It's an IPA infused with grapefruit and tangerine, 7.6 ABV. It's a really good, I guess it's dry hopped, with Galaxy Mosaic hops, which gives it that citrus punch. But it tastes fruity, but it's not sweet, and it's very dry and light with a nice little hint of that citrus.
Yeah, you know, I was trying to compare it to, you know, some of the other, like, northeastern beers, you know, like Sip of Sunshine or even, like, Second Fiddle, but it really isn't. It's kind of got its own unique flavor, and it's really good. Like, I mean, I love those other two beers, but this was just as good, if not better, but different.
Yeah, this summer I was big on the Flying Dog Bloodline, which reminded me of it, and the Tangier, the Southern Tier Tangier.
Mm-hmm.
That it was very similar to that. It was good flavor. I liked it. It was not my everyday drinking IPA, but you want something a little milder or, you know, a little touch of fruit in there. So that could be pretty good.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be very nice to have a couple of those at Après Ski.
In the hot tub.
In the hot tub or in the umbrella bar. Or
that's what I'm saying.
Some pulled pork nachos.
Nachos, any time with nachos.
Always not a good time for nachos. So my beverage this week, this is a wacky one. So we went to the old beer store earlier, and, you know, we were talking about recently, we dubbed Fridays Fat Fuck Fridays with how we've been eating, which has been bad.
And we kept it going.
We kept it going today.
I'm actually full today. Like, we.
I'm so full.
Put the hurt on the pizza and the wings and, yeah.
Yeah. So going, keeping that theme, we picked up
Fat Fuck Friday
a couple of New Belgium plus Ben & Jerry's chocolate chip cookie dough ale. And as the gal in the beer store said, she's like, you really can't have more than one or two of these things because they're just...
It's like having a bowl of ice cream, but in liquid form.
Now, you know, I don't hate this beer. I don't love this beer. But what I do love about this beer is that the whole reason it exists, this collaboration between New Belgium and Ben & Jerry's, is they're donating I guess, proceeds of this beer to protect our winters, which is, you know, a group that's dedicated to fighting climate change. You know, a lot of prominent skiers and boarders, they're part of this this organization. So it's important, as, you know, winter sports enthusiasts as we are and as you guys are, to, you know, support these causes so that we make sure that whatever is doing to make sure that winters stay cold, we're going to keep doing that.
Cold like our beer.
Cold like our beer. So this beer is a wacky, adorable little thing. I think there's also a Ben & Jerry's version of it. It's like a cookie dough ice cream with like New Belgium beer bits or something. I don't know.
Last time we were up, being fat fucks, up at Ben & Jerry's, which was last year, they had some of the New Belgium ice cream, but it was it wasn't this one. It was, I forgot what it was, like a
some malty thing, I think, last year, because it was a different one. They changed it.
Well, no, it wasn't the beer. It was the ice cream made with the beer.
But last year's flavor was different.
Yeah.
This year is the chocolate chip cookie dough.
Right.
Last year was something else.
Yeah. But I remember we had the ice cream. Now we're having the beer, which is actually kind of nice. It's like the yin and the yang. We got to put those two together.
We got to start doing like Fitness Friday, because we got to start stepping our game up before
Stepping Friday.
Before I see snow.
Or something. Burpee Friday. Like.
Yeah, we got to change some things up.
I did go running this morning, so I'm all right.
Oh, look at you. I went to the gym. But
I went to the gym. I did running and the gym, so I'm all right.
Last Friday, though, I dropped a goddamn 10-pound weight on my foot.
I thought you were going to say something else. I was like, whoa.
Hey-o.
No. 10-pound. Like, did you weigh that?
Dude, I feel great. I feel lighter.
It was literally 10 pounds, man.
I was being an asshole, and I was
right, like, on your foot.
I dropped a 10-pound, like, it fell straight down on my toe, on my big toe.
You don't want to damage anything, man.
It was purple, like, all weekend.
Like the suit that you wanted.
Like the suit that I wanted. Throwback.
Could have matched.
Throwback. But yeah, it hurt for a couple days, but it's healing. And then, of course, today there was two people that were annoying me at the gym, and I got pissed off, and I was like moving a bench, and I kicked it, and like the same toe that I dropped the weight on, I freaking nailed the bench with. And I'm like, you see, when you're an asshole, when you're mean, you're putting negative thoughts into the universe, negative shit comes right back to you. So you know what? Stay
nice.
Positive, man.
Just be cool,
keep
man.
Keep it chill.
Be cool.
Keep That's it right. cool. WWJD.
If I was Chris Rock, I would shake you. I don't smack a guy, but I shake him.
Speaking of WWJD.
WWJD.
Oh, come on, man.
I'm forgetting stuff. That's right. So it is time for Frank's Bean of the Week.
Speaking of WWJD.
Frank and Beans.
So this week, so thanks again, Frank, for your for your selection this week. And seeing as how it was just All Saints Day, this week's Bean of the Week is
He's very timely with his selections.
None of these are an accident. Is the Jesus OG. So Jesus OG was bred by TGA Subcool Seeds as the not-so-immaculate conception of Hell's Angel OG and Jack the Ripper. Jesus OG proves to be a godsend for growers and produces tall plants and heavy yields. Users enjoy the lemony kush aroma and this sativa dominant hybrid, along with the heavy effects that relax the body while leaving the mind functional and clear.
Oof.
Oh,
sounds really good.
That sounds like some pretty good stuff, man. Now, if I had a little bit of that before I went to the gym, I wouldn't have got so mad. I'd been so stupid and not messed my toe up.
That's one way to look at it.
But you know what? That we've learned a valuable lesson.
This is how we learn.
This is how we learn.
But yeah, I almost forgot Frank's Bean of the Week. I don't know.
How dare you?
I didn't read the.
How dare you?
I didn't read the emails this week.
You got to bean it up.
Bean it up.
All
Thanks
right.
again, Frank.
Thank you, Frank.
Good stuff. Now it's time for that time of year when we start looking forward to the ski news.
Yeah.
So we got a little ski news for everyone.
All right. Yeah. First up, number one, the new largest U.S. ski resort. Powder Mountain.
Say what?
Yeah, so Powder Mountain Ogden will soon be the largest ski resort in the U.S. of A, with 7,957 skiable acres, 8,464 if you include their cat skiing terrain.
Wow.
But the only resort with more lift-serve terrain in North America is a little place called Whistler Blackcomb, where we're going in 5 weeks.
Wow.
But yeah, Powder Mountain is currently going through the largest lift-serve ski area terrain expansion in North American history by adding 2 chairlifts that are increasing their terrain by over 1,000 acres. The expansion is due to be completed this winter. And this is another pretty interesting and different thing they're doing there. They're creating a skier cap, which means they're only going to sell 2,000 daily ski passes per day and only 1,000 adult season passes.
I love that. I love it.
Yeah. So it's going to make Powder Mountain the lowest skier density of any major ski area in North America.
Mountain Creek, you should listen to this.
Stop it. 14 skiers per acre.
That is incredible.
Could you imagine? I think Mountain Creek is like 14,000 per acre.
Yeah.
Just tack on 3 zeros and it's pretty much the same thing.
Tacking a bunch of zeros.
That's a pretty cool concept, though. They're making the place, it's the biggest place, and it's going to have the least amount of people.
It's where
per acre.
It's where the beer flows like wine and the women flock like the...
The salmon of Capistrano?
Salmon of Capistrano.
Yes. Pretty much just like that.
Just like that.
I'm very interested. I wonder if there's going to be, you know, like there's stupid like StubHub and SeatGeek and all those like annoying resellers. Are they going to start scalping ski tickets now because of this?
Can you imagine they go in and just buy them all and then you got to buy through a reseller? That would ruin it.
Yo, man, you need some tickets? You need some tickets? Tickets, man? You need some tickets? And then, so they're saying the advanced sale adult day ticket is going to be $79.
That's not bad.
That seems amazing with the low number that they're going to sell. Or say you're going there with some buddies. Say there's like 5 of you.
Yeah.
And like we only have 3 tickets left, man. Like, what do you do?
Somebody's waiting in the car. You're shooting it out or something. Or you buy the 3 tickets. Whoever gets to the window first.
Could do that, yeah. So in theory, this is a great idea. But I wonder if there's going to be any sort of backlash.
Shenanigans.
There's always shenanigans.
Yeah, somebody trying to game it, sell them for, you know, buy them for $79, sell them for like $200.
Exactly. You're going to definitely see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think what everybody should do is just kind of take the law into their own hands and, mm-hmm. you know.
You know what our American, like our motto should be? We are some loophole finding motherfuckers.
It's all loopholes.
America.
All America. Place
that's what
loopholes.
We do. We find loopholes. We find ways to screw the system.
They had all the flags, you know, don't tread on me. There's the loophole one, which really wasn't around. Didn't get approved.
Not yet. That could be the next one.
Because there was a loophole.
That could be the Trump loophole the flag.
Oh, the loophole flag.
Loophole flag, yeah. So that's going to be cool. So we should try to get to Powder. We probably won't. But we should try to get out there this year and check out the nice new area and low density acreage.
It's definitely going to get on the list now.
It's on the list.
It's on the list.
Yeah.
So next, what's on the list? Big Sky has recently become on our radar. We had our buddy Tim send us an email say that we weren't giving enough love to Big Sky. The reason is I've never been to Big Sky. I know people went on a shitty time, but everybody else that I know has been there has had a good time there.
Yeah, I mean, I remember last year we were out in Jackson. That was one of the places I was looking at. I'm like, oh, this is awesome here. I mean, you know, you look at the map. Geographically, it's relatively close, Big Sky, and you know, I was doing some research on Bozeman, which is supposed to be just an awesome town.
Didn't your buddy Nick go to Big Sky before he met us in Jackson?
No, he went to Steamboat.
Oh, okay.
He went to Steamboat, was going to stop in Sun Valley, and then go home.
Yeah, because we were looking at it even while we were at Jackson. We're like, why don't we extend our trip? And it's like a 4-hour drive. And then we're like, yeah, I'm tired. I got to go home.
It's a lot of work. Well, Jackson knocks you out, too.
Jackson beat us up.
That's no joke, that mountain. Yeah, it's not that... Don't worry, Tim. It's not that we don't have love for Big Sky or anything against it. We just haven't had a chance to get out there.
It's still on the list.
It's on the list.
Yeah, it is definitely on the list. But no, I know people that have gone out in the last few years, and they said it was phenomenal. I think our ski club went the one year they actually had like no snow, and they were like...
They had bad timing, yeah.
It was just bad timing. And then they had like a foot of snow like the last 2 days or something like that. So it was just a bad year. That year was crappy all around a few years ago. But anyway... So he also sent us some information on Big Sky announcing a 10-year plan to do $150 million worth of investments, upgrades to the mountain. So it's a pretty aggressive plan. They have a short-range, a mid-range, and a long-range plan. And the website that they have is pretty cool. They actually detail everything that they're going to do, like which lifts they're going to open, and you know the final final portion of it is there's going to be a lot more skiable area, more gondolas. They're upgrading the food service. So it was very interesting to see. So definitely thank you, Tim, for sending that to us. Also, as a follow-up, so last week we mentioned ghost stuff happening, you know, in ski towns, and, you know, asked if anybody had any stories about freaky stuff happening on the slopes. So I think I mentioned that while I was at Telluride, there was a lynx reported in one of the areas, and he actually said he was at, I forgot which, was it Copper he was
Copper,
at?
Yeah.
He was at Copper, and he was skiing, and a coyote walked right in front of him.
Oh, and, God.
Which he said it was pretty scary, and I kind of agreed that I would shit my pants as well.
Yeah, that would be pretty disconcerting, I think, is a good way to put it.
Say, hey, what do you do? Say, hey, puppy. Hey, what's going on, puppy?
Come yeah. Come on.
Is he okay to pet? I mean, I don't know. But yeah, so he mentioned it to one of the ski, you know, the ski patrol, and they said they actually had problems with kids on the slopes away from crowds where the coyotes were getting aggressive towards them. And I'm like, yeah, well, they're smaller. You know, they're like a bite, more of a snack size. So that's pretty scary.
Well, I think a kid is probably the only size human a coyote can really handle, because they're not that big. They're going to have trouble with a larger human. And, you know, they work in packs, too. Like, they're the ones that try to... I mean, there's so many stories of them manipulating domesticated dogs.
Yeah.
They kind of, you know, there'll be, like, three or four of them, and they'll be like, hey, buddy, what's up? And they try to, like, they almost, like, you know, like Honey Dick, the domesticated dog.
Honey Dick.
Do their dirty, their bidding for them.
Yeah.
It's happened tons of times. Yeah, there's lots of stories of that.
There's a lot of stories of seeing a coyote in New York City now.
Yeah.
We talked about that many podcasts ago, but it's still, they're still around.
They're coming, yeah. When we go up to my in-laws in Connecticut, we've seen dead ones on the side of the road.
Yeah.
For the last couple of years up there, yeah. And wow. Never did before. I mean, you heard them, but they're becoming more, I don't know if they're just becoming more encroaching more on, like,
well, taking away their land, so they're coming in and being like, hey, man.
But it's like they weren't there before. Now they're more prominent. Like, you'd hear them occasionally.
Well, they get
pushed
out.
You actually see, like, the roadkill, which you should, like, that they'd never be,
right,
get that close to the highway, or, you know, they wouldn't encroach as much on neighborhoods or more populated areas, but now they are.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we had that one time in Mount Snow. They had the moose that was on the, he's stuck in the snow. Remember that?
Yeah.
They were like, everybody stay away from him. People were like, I got to go take a selfie with it.
No,
idiots.
You don't.
Yeah. Idiots. So thanks again, Tim, for sending that.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, look, so that was Big Sky.
Looking good. In other awesome ski news, so we were reporting last week, you know, there was a lot of snow falling. There's not as much story about big snow falling this week, but last week there was a lot of big snow falling and places were opening. This week, Canada finally got their first opening. And it's Banff's Sunshine Valley, first Canadian resort to open for the 2016-2017 season, which is awesome. They just opened on Thursday, November the 3rd. They've got 27 inches of natural snow ready to go.
Nice.
Yeah, so they had a little bit of fresh snow on Tuesday.
Well, one of the things about this, they said they've had a really horrible drought of snow. So they said it's the best snow in 2 years.
That's great.
And the earliest they've opened in more than 30 years.
That's awesome.
So
they were definitely due. So it's great seeing that, you know, our pals north of the border, they're finally getting some of their skiing resorts open.
La Nina taking care of us.
La Nina doing its thing. So, yeah, if you guys are up in the Banff area, enjoy, have fun, send pictures, let us know how it is, and enjoy. Get out there and use it up.
All right. Why don't you start us off with the next one, bro?
I can do that if you'd like. So here's an interesting, this is another interesting deal story. So 15 of the most popular ski resorts in North America were just sold in a massive deal. And, you know, recently Whistler just got purchased by Vail. There's been a lot of these stories lately. And this one, you know, I'm reading this article.
Dude, these are some big resorts, too.
These are some big ones. And I'm reading, like, the names of the companies, And it's all these weird, they've got to be some sort of like shady holding companies or something.
Venture capitalist companies, you know.
Some of our hedge funds. Hedge funds,
yeah.
Yeah. It's like CNL is an affiliate of OZRE, and they're buying stuff from EPR. It's just like all these just acronym soup, you know, just letters. So it looks like EPR is going to purchase North Star Tahoe.
I thought EPR was illegal in sports.
EPR. EPR. Yeah. So an affiliate of OZRE is purchasing the 14 other resorts from CNL. So EPR is buying North Star from CNL for $456
million. Damn.
And this other group, OZRE, is purchasing the other 14 resorts from CNL for $374 million.
Is like CNL going bankrupt? Like, why are they selling everything?
I don't know. I think...
It's weird.
I think CNL... Well, the one of them, CNL was valued at over $3 billion in 2012 when they owned over 100 water parks, ski resorts, marinas, and senior housing developments. So it's almost like they're just moving their assets around pretty much. And now, you know, we did just mention Big Sky, and I think they're not mentioned on this list. But
wait, which one?
Big Sky, they're not included in here.
No.
I don't know if they were owned by the same company. They were owned by Boyne. That's what it was. Okay, so... But it's weird.
Yeah, Boyne's a whole...
But Boyne also... Oh, this is weird. So Boyne owns Sugarloaf and Brighton. Those are two of the ones that were just sold. But why wasn't Big Sky included then? I guess maybe they're one of the ones they're hanging on to.
Or did they sell them a few years ago to the other company?
Well, this article's from August.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, this is very confusing. These are, again, this is all like super complicated hedge fundy holding company transactions here. And, you know, one of the positives in the thing is that they said, you know what, it's just like if you have like a home mortgage and it's being sold to another bank. You know, nothing really changes door to door, just who you write the check to.
Yeah, they said as a skier, it doesn't really mean anything for a skier. Hopefully, it means more improvements coming, maybe more, you know, money coming back into the mountain where they, you know, they take ownership of it and they want to, you know, spruce it up a little.
That's the best case scenario.
So,
so here are the list of the resorts being sold: Brighton Ski Resort in Utah, Crested Butte in Colorado, North Star at Tahoe in California, Okemo Mountain in Vermont, Sierra at Tahoe in California, Stevens Pass in Washington, Sugarloaf Mountain Resort in Maine, Summit at Squamish in Washington, Sunday River in Maine, Loon Mountain in New Hampshire, Cypress Mountain in BC, British Columbia. No, that's BC is British Columbia, Canada. Gatlinburg Skylift in Tennessee.
Urban Ski Week.
Urban
was
Ski
there.
Week. It's coming up.
Coming up.
Jiminy Peak Mountain Resort that's in where Massachusetts. We're going. Mount Sunapee in New Hampshire and Mountain High Resort in California. So that is a lot of transactions going on there.
A lot of land being sold.
Over $700 million in money being moved around. Almost actually over $800 million for these 15 resorts.
Seems like a money laundering deal to me.
You know, it really does. It's like some Bernie Madoff action going on here.
What is going on?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to dig into that a little.
Mm-hmm.
See what comes up.
A little shady.
But yeah, that's wow. It's a shock for a lot for that much to be sold and repurchased.
Mm-hmm. So that about wraps up the ski news for the week.
And now, oh yeah, it's time.
Oh yes,
for the main topic.
Main topic.
And the main topic, it's movie time.
It's movie time. Get your popcorn, get your jujubes, get your junior mints. It's time to start watching some films.
So it's time to get out, watch those wonderful ski and board films that get us all psyched up for the upcoming season. Mm. The weather's changing. Everybody feels it. Halloween's already done with. You had your parties, you had your trick-or-treating, whatever. Now the only thing left is to turn the clocks back or forward.
We're falling back, baby.
Falling back. Yeah. Turn the clocks back, get that extra hour of sleep, and get ready for the ski season.
You forgot to eat some turkey.
Eat some turkey. That'll come up. There's always eating involved. I think we got to focus on like what we
ate. Seriously, we got to stop focusing on the food so much.
We got to have a new segment of what we ate, like on the heaviest day of the week.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
dumpling corner,
dumpling recipe of the week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this week, it was pretty big. We had the private screening of the Tanner Hall movie, and we had the big fabulous event in Morristown. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of fun with that, Brian. I think we took some pictures.
We posted at least one picture. Yeah,
posted a few. We had new shirts.
Yes, our shirts turned out awesome.
We got to post the shirts.
They turned out really good. I think didn't you post a picture of them?
It's all a vague recollection at points.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah, we'll post that. We created some pretty cool pictures that were very topical for the election season.
Yes.
Yeah, we took kind of the Trump-Pence logo, like their little, little logo for the
red, white, and blue logo. Yeah.
Yeah, with the lines on it, and made our own little version of it, which was a lot cooler. I think
it was a lot cooler.
Yeah.
And focused on skiing, so it wasn't even politics, which is good.
Totally, yeah, because we don't care who you vote for. Let's go out and vote. We care about a certain part of the election. We're going to talk about that next week, though. But, yeah, it was great. And first, we want to give a thank you out to, you know, the folks at Warren Miller Entertainment, to Jesse for hooking us up with the tickets. We really appreciate it. It was a great time.
I got to read her article, too, in the little magazine.
Yeah, she's got a couple write-ups, yeah, in the the Snow World magazine that comes along.
Cool.
With the it's almost like the playbill for the movie. But it's crazy, too. It's crazy how many people they get into the screening.
Yeah.
A lot of people there. They got a lot of good giveaways. There was a lot of...
free lift tickets.
Free lift tickets. I mean, it's amazing the deal you get. I mean, you get, like, what, 4 lift tickets for free?
Yeah.
Just for going, to the screening.
They gave away trips. They gave away some ski trips.
And it was, like, big trips. I mean, they do it, too, where I guess it's, like, a preliminary raffle.
For the really big one, yeah.
That's, like... Valley Nevada, isn't it, or something?
I think that was it, yeah.
It's something, you know, really legit. And they do a couple...
Sugarbush, I think, was there.
Those they actually just gave away. Like, that you just won right there. But the other one, the bigger drawings... the grand prize was, like, Switzerland. Ultimate Ski Vacation number 2 in Switzerland.
Love Switzerland.
First prize, Western Montana. Second prize, Aspen Getaway for 2 with Helly Hansen. Third prize, trip for 4 to Squaw Valley. Fourth prize, Crested Butte.
Sixth prize was hang out with the High Flute and Ski Bums for a week.
Bam, bam. Yeah. No expenses paid.
No expenses paid.
But you get a t-shirt.
That was our own fifth prize, just saying. Yeah. Or sixth prize, whatever we had.
No, but there was a lot of great giveaways and, it was a lot of fun. One thing that's... I don't know if it's just that crowd, if it's skiers in general, but there was like a time. So there was one point they were coming out and they were drawing on stage for the prizes, and they had a bunch of these like little kids out, you know, two little boys. They were like probably, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10. I can't tell how old kids are. Something between 5 and 7 and 12.
Under 14, right?
Definitely under 14, above like 4.
Above 5. Wow. Above
4.
Yeah.
So like 2 dudes, and you know, the guys like having them like, you know, pull stuff out. And then at one point, these little guys are throwing, you know, shirts and hats into the crowd. And you know, they don't have the ability to throw it that far.
Yeah.
And obviously, you can't get much distance on a shirt or a
You gotta have one of those
hat.
Cannons. You gotta have one of those.
Slingshot, none of that. But like, you just see these like older dudes just like jumping over people, like getting in front of kids and like grabbing these like $10 hats or
like
shirts.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, you're probably worth like $20 million. You probably have like 4 ski houses. Being an asshole to get this free shirt or hat. It's like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
I hate that kind of shit. I hate when I see any like an adult taking advantage of a kid. I hate that shit so much.
Yeah.
Oh, it drives me crazy. I just want to, like, punch him out.
Like, they gave everybody, like, the booklet with all this stuff. Like, you had all your stuff, you know.
Yeah.
It's like the sign-ups, too. The sign-up was, like, you would have thought they were giving away $1 million for some of these things. People are crowded around, like, boxing in to try to...
Even if it was something small, you know? It's like, you're getting a free pen or you're getting, you know...
Yeah.
They just, like... People are just... They love free stuff.
Yeah.
And again, this is a sport where, you know, if you're skiing or boarding, you know, you're pretty privileged. You have a great, you know, you're very lucky to be able to do it. And these people just trying to squeeze out every last nickel and dime they can, you know, like just getting more and more and more. And it was, I don't know if it was worse last year or better this year or exactly the same. I tried to stay away. I was, you know, last year being our first year doing it,
yeah.
I was trying to, you know, get in and see everything and experience everything more. And this year I was kind of like, I'm going to take a step back and kind of take a look from afar. So I really didn't, see like the trenches to see how the battles were going down.
Yeah, I left for a while. I was talking to some of the vendors when there's no crowds around.
Yeah.
And it was actually cool. I was like talking to people from Sugarbush and some of the other people. We ran into our buddy, Derek from High Nose.
Yep.
And just kind of
shout out to Derek.
Oh, and he said all his crew wasn't there because they got a whole bunch of new stuff in, and he had them putting stuff away while he went to the movie.
That is a sign of good leadership.
I was like,
you have to be able to delegate tasks.
He said, I know they're gonna miss the movie, but I got to take care of them after. I'll take them out for drinks.
He was bootlegging the film, probably.
He's bootlegging.
He was going all Doobie Brothers on the show. He was recording it.
Well, we gave him an extra ticket. He's trying to get rid of tickets. It was pretty fun.
Yeah.
But no, it was a good, you know, I had a good time. It was, it was good. I mean, if you haven't been to one of these events, it's good because you get to see people and just what it's about and find out more information and just about skiing and equipment and stuff. And then you get to see the show, which is cool. They have an intermission.
It really does get you fired up for
getting
back into skiing.
Especially seeing all that on the big screen.
Yeah.
And, you know, like we watched movies here, you know, at home, but you see it on the big screen. It looks so much better.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like you see the mountains and everything. Like you feel like you're there. That's where you really get pumped up.
Mm-hmm. It feels, you know, more lifelike and, you know, the size, the grandeur, you know, of like the, you know, the screen is so big. And, you know, when you're in the mountains are so big. So it has that grandness to it.
Yeah.
Which makes it a little more, you know, exciting.
And the sound, it's like surrounding, you know.
Plus, too, when you're watching with a lot of people and you see, like, you know, crazy crashes or a joke or something amazing, you know, it's like a collective.
Everybody gets it, yeah.
Yeah, collective emotion, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. All right, so how about the movie? So I know we have an idea where they were, so.
One thing before we start into that, there was kind of a weird vibe, though, to the movie itself. You know, because this is Warren Miller's 67th movie, right? That's what I'm saying. Film number 67.
Mm.
And that's just a random number. Like, it's not 70, it's not 75, it's not 100.
Yeah.
But they went into, they talked to Warren. Like, in the beginning of it, they kind of showed him his trek, his journey, you know, him being, like, the original ski bum. And he was the first extreme athlete, you know, really extreme athlete kind of doing this. And it had kind of a sad twinge to it. Like, you know, I mean, he is getting up there. What's he, like, in his 90s, I think?
Yeah.
It's like, is he very sick? Do they think he's not going to be around for another one?
Well, I think they also did it as, it's an end of an era because, you know, he's getting up there in age. But also, the ski bumming isn't the same as it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't just get in a little camper and go hang out. Like, people kick you off. Like, and it's just a different lifestyle now with, you know, technology and stuff. So you'll never have that simpleness and like going out and doing it on your own, kind of like they did, you know.
But the way they were talking to him and the way they were showing the flashbacks of all the stuff that he did, I don't know. It just had kind of a finality to it. It felt like to me. And then plus two, he has the book that just came out.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like they're trying to get all this stuff out there. And
well, I almost think he's going to get ready to pass the torch to somebody.
Well, he kind of already has. I mean, Johnny Mosley's been doing the voiceovers for the last bunch of films.
He's still been involved, so I wonder if they're just going to, you know, he's going to be, you know, out of it and let somebody else, you know, take it over. And
I think at his age, he pretty much has done that already.
Yeah, he's still in every movie, and I don't know.
Yeah.
He still talks in every movie, but...
Yeah, I don't know. To me, there was just some sort of, you know... I don't know if weird is the word or melancholy, or there's just something to it.
A little melancholy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see that.
It just seems like they're like, this could be the last one he's in. Maybe they're starting to get that vibe. I don't know.
Hopefully not,
but that was something that I just kind of detected while watching this.
That's why you got to live now. You never know. That's why he says, if you don't do it today, you'll be 1 year older when you do.
Absolutely.
And then when you're doing it, do it tomorrow because you might not be able to do it today because you might not be able to do it tomorrow. Right?
There you go. Very wise words. Very wise man.
But the ski footage was pretty badass. So they went everywhere. I don't know how long it took them to film this. I think I don't know if it was a year and a half was in the making. But they
It's usually a yearish.
A yearish. Every once in a while, like, you know, we'll hear about movies that are like 2 year span or something. But here they did Squaw Valley, Crested Butte, Deer Valley, Montana, just general. They didn't even specify
Western
where.
Montana, yeah.
Switzerland. I don't know where in Switzerland though.
They mentioned Verbier and Andermatt.
Andermatt, that's right. They did Kicking Horse, Cordova, Alaska. They always do Alaska. Everybody does Alaska. Greenland. I don't know where they did in Greenland.
It was kind of in the south southeastern part of Greenland, yeah.
Then they did Fenway Park, which we were following last year.
The Big Air.
In Fenway Park. That was pretty awesome. And Steamboat.
Yeah, and, you know, of those, the one thing they had, I mean, the Deer Valley one, they did that as a tribute to Stein Erickson.
Yeah.
He passed away last year. And they were just, you know, talking about skiing like Stein and, you know, showing, like, how he became one of the first ever free skiers, you know? Like, he was just doing his thing. He just loved the sport so much and was a tremendous ambassador of it. I mean, he ran the Deer Valley ski program for the last 35 years. So it was, you know, it was kind of a tribute, that segment to him.
And I think that was where there was that kind of melancholy. Where, so like you said, they did Warren Miller like that. Then they did Stein Erickson. And yeah, it wasn't all just adrenaline. And it was a lot of, hey, look what these people did for the sport. And
yeah, there was that. And then also the part where they were showing out in California. They were showing, you know, Johnny Mosley and his family. They were showing, there's a few other, there was Jeremy Jones, JT Holmes, they were all out in Squaw and Alpine Meadows. And they were, you know, showing their families and why they love still being able to do this, you know, with their families and getting the kids out there. And so there was so much of that kind of, you know, passing things down and, you know, taking from your elders sort of vibe, you know, from the Stein Erickson to Warren Miller to that segment. Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe it seemed like they were reinforcing that throughout the whole movie. So that was something that just kind of, again, stuck with me.
Until they had that dude on the snowmobile.
That guy.
I gotta find out his name. It was awesome.
Yeah, that was the segment when they were out. They were in, like, the wilderness of Montana.
Yeah, Montana's glacier country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one dude was just jumping off cliffs in his snowmobile.
It was crazy.
That dude was awesome. There was some scenes, and it was cool. That was where it was cool seeing it with a group of people, because you just got the, you know, the collective, like, ooh. Like,
that guy was just flying up and down mountains. He was just, like, doing, like, tree skiing with
the snowmobile. Yeah.
And the people are skiing next to him. Like, he's you know, they're jumping over him. It was just crazy. It was a really cool segment. The cinematography was good on that.
Yeah. One of the other things that really stood out to me was when they were showing Switzerland and they were showing these, like, small, quaint little ski towns. I mean, that's where skiing really, that's its birthplace, you know, like in the Alps. And they were just showing these amazing old little ski towns, and it reminded me of our trip to Zermatt and just that, you know, again, that's, you know, one of the main destinations you're going to go to in Switzerland. But it's just, that's where it's from. That's where the sport originated. That's where it, you know, came from.
What it reminded me a little bit when we were in Zermatt, the first day we stopped for lunch, and there was that little soup hut on the mountain, and we went to eat, and, you know, people are like, oh, well, what do they have there? They're looking for, like, a whole menu. And it's like, we have soup and cheese and bread. Like, that's it. Mm-hmm. If you want something else, you go ski down to the lodge.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, it was perfect. I was like, this is great. And, you know, some of the people in our party were a little bit more high maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
Being from the Northeast. And, like, I can't believe they don't have this. And I can't believe I don't have that. I'm like, hit the bricks. That's how it is.
Yeah.
The dude's here in the middle of the mountain in a hut. Like, you can't get stuff here. And he has delicious, you know, hot soup and cheese. And it was fine for me.
What else do you need?
Yeah. Shut up and eat and let's go.
Yeah. They were showing too, like, in the that part of Switzerland, there's a scene where they're going across this walkway. I mean, what was it? Maybe foot and a half, 2 feet across.
Yep.
It's in Gemstock, I guess is the name of the town. And this thing was terrifying looking. I mean, just pretty much across a ravine.
No safety rails, right?
Just pretty simple. I mean, there's a little tiny bars you hold on to. Yeah. But it wasn't, you know, super reinforced. You know, just it was just enough to get you across, pretty much. And that was good enough.
Not built to withstand the test of time, but good enough.
But fine Swiss engineering. Exactly. You know, so it built to last.
Give you that little, you know, shock factor when you go across.
Yeah. Yeah, there was that. And then one other thing that was really, you know, cool, again, because I don't know much about the town. I mean, obviously, I've heard about it. Crested Butte, Colorado, they were showing it, you know, and they were just saying, like, people like, this is like the skiing and biking mecca. Yeah. You know, like, this is where fat tire biking started. You know, they have all these, they had this fat tire bike race they were showing.
That's remember the that? World Championship, right?
The World Championship, yeah. They're showing just some of these people just face planting.
Oh, yeah.
There were some pretty, well, brutal, but kind of funny because everyone was okay. Crashes that they had during that. Like there was one where this one woman was riding and all of a sudden, like she's like, I don't know if she's like pedaling so hard. She just turned her wheel like 90 degrees and just like.
Right over the handlebars.
Oh, totally over the handlebars, just face planted. It was pretty brutal. But that is definitely a town that's moving up on my list of places that I want to go. And then we're looking online. You could actually afford some real estate there too. We found a studio apartment for $64,000 there.
In the Butte.
395 square feet, so it's tiny. But it's like a nice hotel room. You know, you got what you need. It's a studio. You got to put a couple beds in there. Probably sleep like 4 to 6. And it's a place to crash.
You crash and skiing.
It's the price of a freaking BMW. You can get a BMW or you can have ski country real estate.
Every year you could go there. A few times a year.
You could live there.
You could live there.
If you really wanted to. Yeah, you could live there.
That's right.
And it's right near Backcountry Cannabis, allegedly.
Boom. Boom. Yeah. Now, what is Backcountry Cannabis? Because you came across this today.
Yeah, I just doing a little research on Crested Butte and some of the local, you know, the stores, the merchants. And it is a cannabis company that operates out of the lovely Crested Butte area.
Boom.
Yeah, it's cool. They got some cool swag and...
Swag.
So it was just... It's probably the best... According to Google reviews, it's the best head shop in Crested Butte.
All right.
So they have that going for them.
Nice.
And they have pretty cool shirts as well.
Yeah, it was a fun time.
It was good.
The movie.
Yes.
Lots of fun.
So if you have a chance to see it, definitely get out there. You will not be disappointed.
Yeah, I think they have a showing in New York City coming up. And then look on the site. The link that we have there goes to the Warren Miller site, and they have listings of any remaining places that they're going to show the movie. And there's probably something close to you, you know, or a little bit of a drive away. It's worth getting. You know, it's a nice night out. You get to see a cool ski flick, you know.
And you get some free lift tickets.
And swag. It pays for itself.
Definitely does.
And then we also had a private screening of the Tanner Hall Ring the Alarm.
Yes.
So this one was free.
This one was free.
Absolutely free. So you go to his website and he's all about, I guess the sponsors get their money and he gets to provide it to everybody for free and see his cool stuff. And it was a cool little film.
It was cool. And it was cool to watch it like a day or two after watching the Warren Miller one.
Yeah.
Because they're just very different vibes.
Yep.
You know, totally opposite end of the spectrum kind of vibes. While, you know, Warren Miller has kind of the, again, especially this particular one, very kind of family and, you know, family oriented and a little more classical, I guess it would be.
Well, they always string a story within, even if it's a fun, you know, even if it's a more lighthearted, they still do some kind of storyline in there. Whereas some of these other movies are like, look at this cool shit that we did, you know.
And that's kind of more what the Ring the Alarm movie was like.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we saw the trailers, they were showing the trailer and they were talking about, I mean, they really focused on them going up to Alaska. I think they were in Haines. And there was this massive storm, like this massive snowstorm while they were up there. And they were trapped for 2 weeks, you know, in their huts, in their tents. And, you know, after we saw that, we're like, dude, this looks fantastic, you know, and when you watch the movie, the footage that they show regarding that whole 2 week time period is pretty much everything they show in the trailer.
Yeah.
Which I was really kind of disappointed in. I thought I was going to be talking about, you know, yeah, like their personal stories of them hanging out. What was it like?
Yeah.
What did they have to? What were the hardships they had to endure? But it was really just kind of like, eh, this is killing time, so we can start showing more ski footage.
They're like, we're glad we're alive, and let's get out and ski.
Yeah. You know?
There was a movie last year, the one that Red Bull put on for free on the opening day, Degrees North, and that was by North Face in collaboration with a bunch of people. And they were snowed in for, like, I think it was, like, 4 days. And they showed, like, every day what they were going through. And that was more like what I was expecting with that scene.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they were just freezing their ass off, and they were stuck, and they were pissed off because they couldn't ski and all. It was pretty, pretty interesting.
Yeah.
But this was pretty, I mean, it was pretty neat to see them just hanging around, and they're like, yeah, we're just going to pack some snacks and go up and, you know, kind of very like, oh, let's just do this, you know?
Well, it kind of showed them, you know, touring around, too, where they were going.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to some pretty awesome places.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what he's kind of, I was reading, I think, on his, I forget if it was his website or on Teton, they were talking about it. I guess he just bought, like, a Sprinter van and had it, like, converted. And now he just kind of rolls around in different ski areas.
Nice.
And just does his thing.
That's pretty wild.
And that's kind of what they're doing. It was, like, a group of bunch of dudes, maybe, you know, 4 or 5 guys, and they would, you know, bounce from, you know, Tahoe to go up to Mount Hood to go over to Nelson, British Columbia, and then eventually up to Alaska.
Wow, it's so bouncing all around.
Yeah. Just bounced around. It was cool. And then they had the loop, which was kind of interesting too.
Yeah.
But they had that, you know, kind of Hot Wheels loop built.
A loop-de-loop.
And they were showing all the, you know, all their attempts to get it right and how kind of wacky it was and how, you know, your body just... the way your weight shifts and your you know, you respond to that sort of force, the centrifugal force of going up a loop like that, they're having a lot of problems the first couple times.
And these are some of the best skiers in the world.
I mean,
and they're having problems. That's like, wow.
Just watching the way they were skiing, you know,
it was like
unbelievable. Like, you feel like you don't even know what you're doing out there.
You know, it was amazing. They're skiing in Alaska and they're all going down these crazy steep spines. And everyone, this one day, it must have been like a series of days or one day when they had a ton of snow. And you just saw avalanche after avalanche that they were creating. And they're like skiing through it and out of it. And I'm like, it was amazing. It was just amazing to watch.
Yeah. And I remember seeing an article recently where they were talking about, you know, there are these movies, you know, pushing people unnecessarily to keep having to do something crazy. And they mentioned this movie particularly because there are some parts where, I mean, the avalanches are insane that they're causing.
And a few of them, they were like caught in the avalanche, but they were on top of it because they were fighting through it. And it's just like, just to be in that situation was just incredible.
It was pretty terrifying to watch.
And it was wild because you're watching it and like out of the corner of the screen, you see the crack. You hear and you see the crack of snow. And it's like, holy crap, he's on, you know. And then the whole floor just opened, you know, just starts sliding. It was crazy.
Yeah. It's a bit, it was sketchy in spots, that's for sure.
It was, let's say, unnerving.
Unnerving is a good way to put it, yeah.
That's just a little terrifying, but it was amazing to see these dudes ski board.
Yeah, they're unbelievable. But yeah, very different vibe than Warren Miller.
Yeah,
you know, they're showing Tanner smoking weed, and it's all like dance hall reggae, all the music, yeah. And you know, it's just
Wu-Tang.
It's very, very different vibe.
Yeah,
but still cool in its own right. Again, a little disappointed in the lack of showing the story while they were, you know, showing them in the snow, and they got stuck for 2 weeks. But
it's no better off dead, but you know,
it's not. And it was very short too. It was like 40 minutes, under 40 minutes, so you can blast through it pretty quickly. But also definitely worth checking out. I mean, Tanner is just the man. He's just an incredible skier, and he could put these cool projects together and getting with you know, amazing skiers out there, and they're doing their thing.
It's almost like after you watch the movies, it's kind of cool. You could see, like, so the Warren Miller, you got to sit down and watch because there's a story and you're going to miss stuff if you're not paying attention. Other movies like the Tanner Hall and some of the other movies we've seen, you could have a party and put it in the background. And people will watch a little and then mingle and then watch a little more. And they'd be amazed every time they watch, which is, it's kind of cool. It serves that purpose, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, lots of fun.
Yeah, so good stuff. So great movie. So you can check them out. The Warren Miller ones, they're still touring. And Tanner Hall's Ring the Alarm, you can find it on his website, tannerhall.ski. So get out there and check it out.
Yep.
All right, and one other ski-related story. This was announced about a week ago or so by the good folks at the REI Co-op, which we are members of, that they are selecting again, they're choosing to opt outside for Black Friday and will be closed, which I said it last year, I'm saying it again this year, I think that's an awesome idea to put, you know, to give their employees who, you know, most of them are actually pretty cool people. They're easy to talk to. They're very helpful. Give them that day, because that day is just such a nightmarish shit show for everybody. It's I don't know why anybody want to be any part of that.
Yeah, it's actually changed a little. Last year, like, it wasn't like a big Black Friday sale. It was more before Thanksgiving, during Thanksgiving, and after Thanksgiving. It was just weird.
Well, yeah, because so many stores are actually just staying open on Thanksgiving now.
Yeah.
Which is weird. And then a lot of other, I mean, most other sane people who live in the modern world are just buying stuff online anyway.
Yeah.
So it's not this big event where you have to go somewhere at a certain time to go do a thing anymore.
It used to be like a like one time, like you have to be there at this time. And then it became, well, you could be...
There are six TVs that are available if you get here at 4 a.m.
Right. So people would stand online for this, you know... But everything would happen at the same time, like midnight. Now it's like, okay, we're, you know, this one store or set of stores is going to do 8 o'clock. Another set of stores is going to do 10 o'clock. Another set of stores is going to do 12. So it's kind of like people mill around more instead of just like mad dash at one place. It still gets crazy, but.
Yeah, and I still have no desire to get anywhere near a freaking store on that day.
Yeah, it's usually, unless you want to wait around for a long time, it's usually not worth it.
My time is far too valuable to wait around with those mutants for anything. There's nothing I really need or want that I would wait in that line and deal with that bullshit to get. Nothing. Even if it was Hetty Topper, I'd still be like, you know what? That's all right. I'll just go up.
Lifetime Hetty Topper.
No, wouldn't be worth it.
Lifetime Hetty Topper.
How much beer can I drink? Nope.
Lifetime lift ticket.
Nope. I'll just go buy it.
To anywhere.
Let's go buy it myself.
To anywhere. Any place in the world.
I'll just go buy it.
The Willy Wonka golden ticket.
Go.
You can't buy it.
Buy it. Then I don't need it.
The Willy Wonka golden ticket.
I don't need it, man. I just don't need it. But yeah, so REI, as of right now, you can choose to join them in the opt outside movement. They have over 1 million people who have joined them to opt outside, which is pretty cool. So that's a good thing. And
so is that you give them your email?
Oh, just your bank account number and your social security.
Social.
It's no big deal.
Mother's maiden. You know.
Yeah, all that good stuff. You just say, I'm opting outside. I'm not going shopping. Enjoy your day off, REI.
I like it. You give them your email, and you're opting outside, but you're actually opting in for all the emails. I like
it. It's genius.
Genius.
Yep.
I like it.
So good job, REI. We're with you on that. That's pretty cool. So that wraps up the ski news. Check us out again, SkiBumPodcast.com for all the info, Twitter.com/SkiBumPodcast, Instagram.com/SkiBumPodcast, Facebook.com/SkiBumPodcast.
Yeah.
There it is.
There it is.
There it is.
It's time for Under the Ropes. We're going under the ropes with you people.
And we're going to start it off with a little follow-up from last week.
Ooh.
And we were excited about the potential. You know, we're total hippie anarchists here, apparently. So we were very excited about the news of the pirate party in Iceland possibly taking control of the country. But alas, the good pirates, they were shot down in their effort this past weekend.
Gar.
But not without some success. So as of right now, the Independents, which is the Iceland's longest serving party, was the winner with 29% of the votes. The Left Green Alliance came in with 16%, and then the Nonconformist Pirates came in at 14.5%.
Yar.
So quite the valiant effort. For the pirates,
they were swashbuckling all the way and just came up short.
Yeah, they were saying, you know, opinion polls ahead of the vote suggested that the pirates could take power from independence.
I think next year they have to get eye patches. Then they would have gone. That would have put them over the edge.
I don't think eye patches would have done it. Really,
I think it was again. I go back to they started merging the Vikings with standard pirates.
Mm.
Vikings are pirates. Just stay with the Viking theme. Don't go to like swashbuckling pirates. You can't
Pikings.
Mix those two. Pikings.
Yeah. Yeah, they couldn't pull it off, but they got
pirates.
Pretty close. Pirates.
Bunch of pirates.
Yeah, so they didn't pull it off. So we figured we'd give you guys a little update on that, let you know what's up. And then, So now, onto crazy elections in our country. This was something that was posted by powerful Joe Rogan this past week on Instagram, and I've watched this at least 4 or 5 times now.
It's pretty funny.
I'm friggin' dying laughing. So I'm not exactly sure where this was, but independent
like the View
libertarian candidate Gary Johnson was on a panel with these two ladies, and this one just starts spouting off this ridiculous nonsense about how the potential for a heart attack goes up 5 times in the hour after you smoke marijuana.
Totally. Just without any.
I don't see any sort of doctorate near her name.
Yeah.
She doesn't seem to have any sort of research she's, you know, quoting this from. She's just making up this nonsense bullshit. So she's on this panel with another lady, who might be the moderator, and Gary Johnson. And Gary Johnson, I mean, this is like it's a pretty professional setting. He freaking grabs his heart and falls on the floor, just mocking this dummy, which was hysterical.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Just no idea, no clue, just spouting that same rhetoric that the war on drugs beat into your head, that reefer madness beat into your head. It's all lies. It's all perpetuating to keep control of the people who make the laws and who run the alcohol companies and have the vices that are making money right now. So
I like Joe Rogan's comment, though.
Oh, it's great. Someone get that dopey lady a joint quick. She's making up false statistics about weed and heart attacks.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's beautiful.
I got to find out who that lady is.
So check out Joe Rogan on Instagram.
That was pretty funny.
Next up,
we got man develops severe hepatitis after being on energy drinks for 3 weeks. So there's a 50-year-old construction worker. He consumed 4 to 5 energy drinks a day for 3 weeks and was diagnosed with acute hepatitis. anybody that doesn't know what hepatitis is, it's a severe case of your liver going into some kind of alarm where it's like fighting off
death,
disease, death. It's shutting down. It's inflamed. So usually it's like a lot of liver inflammation, but it causes a whole bunch of other stuff. So I think they were saying he started actually getting jaundice, turning yellow. And that's when, you know, he's like, something's going on. So he, the doctors observed and they said excessive drinking of these energy drinks, which includes copious amounts of vitamin B3. Which is niacin, and they're saying, you know, they believe that triggered his hepatitis, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. So it's kind of proof positive that maybe you don't need to have 5 energy drinks a day for 3 weeks to stay awake. So
what are you staying awake for?
Well, they said it was for work. So, you know, unfortunately, some people work a lot of hours and stuff, and it's you got to find other ways to stay up. Then I mean, maybe he doesn't like coffee, or you know, 5 cups of coffee is a little better than 5 energy drinks. Plus, they get bigger and bigger. We were talking last week about it used to be this little tiny Red Bull that now it's just like,
yeah, it was like a shot. It was like 2 shot glasses, pretty much, was the size of the original Red Bull can.
And now it's like it's what, just 3 times the size that it used to be.
It's at least 3 times the size.
I think they actually have a bigger one and then a super big one now.
Yeah,
it's just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It's funny that they don't. The article says it didn't say what specific energy drink he was consuming, but they keep showing Monster in all the pictures.
Well, it does have Rockstar in there, Monster.
Well, it says that the drinks that have added niacin are Monster, Rockstar, and Red Bull.
Right. And then they have a picture of 2 Monster drinks sitting there.
Yeah, it's like multiple Monster photos, yeah.
They're saying Monster Energy contains 200% of the daily recommended intake of niacin. So
that's crazy.
I guess it would be similar, and because it's in there, it would be similar to just taking those vitamin pills, which nobody would take that many vitamin pills. So if it wasn't in there, then maybe it wouldn't be so bad. But yeah, it's interesting to see.
Yeah, I was walking past one of those like CNBC screens a couple days ago, and I have like the worst ADD, so like you know, seeing like 2 different things streaming and things blinking in corners like always catches my attention.
Shiny things. I got to look.
And somehow I don't, it must have been just timing. they had the stock ticker symbol for Monster Energy came up. It's whatever it is, MNSTR. Like, it says like MNSTR, like, you know, ERG, DRNK, whatever, like the little abbreviation and then the stock symbol.
Right.
Their stock price is like $144 a share.
Yeah, I know.
It's freaking insane.
It's insane.
Crazy for something that didn't exist 15 years ago.
They sponsored the Triple Crown. Remember the guy that won? He had the Monster all over, and he's like, I love the Monster. Like, the jockey, every chance.
Like the horse racing Triple Crown?
Yeah. So, I mean, which is a pretty big thing to sponsor. God. Or they sponsored that rider.
Did the horse ride it? Like, did the horse have any Monster in him?
Maybe that's why he rode so well.
What about, like,
American Pharoah, right?
Horse suppositories. Monster horse suppositories.
I saw an American Pharoah bourbon, a tribute bourbon today.
Did they use bits of real American Pharoah?
They actually had the colors of the silks, which is actually pretty neat the way they did it. It was actually cute.
Was that this year he won?
Won last year, I believe.
That's right.
Yeah. But when the jockey won, he had the Monster hat. He's like, Monster Energy. He's like, I love Monster Energy. He was just totally like, they must have been paying him by the number of times he said Monster.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny. It was like annoying, and then it just got comical because you're like, watch, he's going to say it again. Boom, he said it again.
Yeah.
You know? We'll give you $2,000 every time you say it. Oh, Monster Energy. I love Monster Energy.
Was the jockey the subject of this article here? The one who got the...
I don't know.
The poisoning? The hepatitis from all the Monster consuming?
Well, here's a messed up part. Like, let's say some parents give that to their kid, you know, not thinking that it's bad. I mean, it's that horrible that it could, you know, for a little body, it's going to just magnify the damage, you know?
Isn't that what Honey Boo Boo's mother would give her?
Yes.
Go-Go juice?
Oh,
wasn't it like Red Bull and like Gatorade or something? It was Mountain Dew and something else.
I'm all hopped up on Mountain Dew, Uncle Chip. I'm going to come at you like a spider monkey. Love that show. Yeah. Love that movie. You know, I'm so glad that you're making the Honey Boo Boo reference that I don't have anything to go on because I've never seen it.
The only reason I know about it because someone at work was telling me about Go-Go Juice.
And sure. Just like I never saw The Bachelor because, you know, somebody made me watch it.
Yeah. I'm sticking to my story. All I know is Sketty, Sketty and Go-Go Juice. That's about it.
Sketty?
Sketty.
Oh, I'm so glad. I lived in North Carolina for a while, so I saw something.
You were next to Honey Boo Boo then.
I was next to Honey. I was in the mountains too.
Yeah.
There's some mountain shit going
Where
on.
Where you going, city boy?
Oh, boy, you got some big fancy jeans on.
You're purring them out there, city boy.
Oh, God, it was so bad. I can hear banjos. Yeah, some of the people were really cool. Some of the other people were just really hicks.
Yeah. Guys who can meth, they were great.
Yeah, but they're afraid because, like, ooh, that's a Yankee over there. Stay away from them. I'm like, that's right. I will cut you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Good luck rising again, fellas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a reason we won the war.
Yeah.
And when you say, like, we won the war, people are like, oh, Vietnam, like, you know, something current to the century. They're like, they're still on the goddamn Civil War. They think they're going to rise again.
Yeah.
You know what?
Good luck with that.
Exactly. We're not going back to that.
Yeah.
You can't own people, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
All right, so, you know, following that up, after we talk about the bad drinks, there's a very good drink that I came across. So I'm in the store a few weeks ago and, I see this little shot of turmeric blast. And I'm like, this looks really cool. So I read the ingredients, looks pretty nice. It's made by a company called Saratoga Juice Bar and they make these little shots. They're wellness shots and they have turmeric in one. They have, a bunch of different ones.
Oh, you got a wheatgrass tropic, just dandy.
Yep.
Hot beets.
Hot beets.
Hot beets.
And if you look what's in there, so I actually liked it so much. What I did with it is I put, I split it, and I would put a little bit into my shake that I have in the morning. So I do kale shakes. Brian does kale shakes. Like, you put a lot more different stuff in there. I kind of keep to my same recipe, and then I'll throw a little bit in there of something else in there once in a while.
So what is your recipe?
So I do the greens, which are kale or spinach or a mix. Then I do ginger. I do ground oatmeal, ground flaxseed, banana, a little bit of the either Naked Juice or Bolthouse Farms, like the natural. It's actually a smoothie, but I just put a little bit in for flavor, just to sweeten it up a little. And that's it. And water. And I'm trying to think if I'm missing anything. Oh, and then I do MCT oil.
Okay.
All right. Do all that, but it's like a 32-ounce smoothie that I have in the morning. It holds me till lunch.
Yeah.
But it's a giant. It's like two smoothies in one. And I'm a big dude. Like, especially if I work out the day before, I am just starving. So I'll have that, and around 11:30, I'll start getting hungry again. Mm-hmm. But it's good. It holds me. So what I did was I added this shot in there. And the reason I looked at the turmeric is I do the ginger in there because it's an anti-inflammatory. And as we understand it, you know, inflammation is like the root of all evil for everything. But I put the turmeric because turmeric is probably one of the best antioxidants you can have.
Good thing beer isn't inflammatory, right?
Oh, this is countering all the good that I had this morning in my shake.
God damn it.
But you do a shake too. Now you put a lot more stuff in there.
Well, I do. Well, I do on a normal day, like a normal weekday, I do two shakes.
Okay.
I do my morning shake after my workout.
After the workout.
After the workout. That's banana, blueberries, almond or cashew milk, flax seeds, MCT oil, handful of greens, almond butter. And like protein powder, like a scoop of protein powder. Blend that up. That's my post-workout breakfast shake.
Okay.
Lunchtime.
You don't eat breakfast before that?
No.
Oh, so you just go and you're still fasting, workout, and then you eat after.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I might do a piece of like Ezekiel toast and almond butter before if I'm really hungry.
Look at you, Mr. Fancy. I love almond butter.
That's how we operate. I love Costco. Buy like 10 of them. I got like a freaking, like a war chest full of it. Just in case shit goes down.
You never know.
California had that almond problem recently. I want to make sure shortage. I don't have any sort of almond problems. Then at lunchtime, I do this at least twice a week. I sometimes do it more if I'm feeling really fat. I'll make the kale shake. And this is like the Joe Rogan recipe. So it's like kale. I put mango in. I got like the frozen Mango's mango from Costco. I'll do some frozen mango. Celery, a couple stalks, one cucumber, a big chunk of ginger, a couple of cloves of garlic, MCT oil, and then some water just to kind of thin it out so it can blend. And then I do that. And if I have like an avocado, I'll put that in too because it, you know, emulsifies it and gets a little creamier.
I'm having a battle with avocados. I can't get them ripe.
I fucking love avocados.
I love them. I had one today, but the other one was like hard as anything. I was so pissed.
That's the problem. You got to buy them ahead of time. You got to say to yourself, will me in 4 days want avocado?
I waited like 5 days and it still, one was ripe, the other one wasn't ripe.
Occasionally at some of those, like,
it was a quitter.
It's a dead one.
It was a quitter.
It's like a stillborn avocado.
You're dead inside.
Useless. Yeah.
Anyway.
But yeah, so I can blend that bad boy up, and that's the garlic and all the kale. It makes it a little bit rough, but luckily the mango.
I'll do garlic in the winter sometimes.
It's great for your stomach. Like, I know the mango or the ginger and the garlic, it's so good for your stomach. Like, I don't really have a problem eating anything.
Well, I read something on garlic, and they say if you have a virus, they call it the article I was reading was calling it the Russian antibiotic because it actually helps with colds and fight off, at least halt or something, viruses.
It's amazing stuff. Yeah, that's why when I was sick a few weeks ago, we posted that recipe from reset.me, and they were talking about, you know, there's the elixir you make if you have like a sore throat or a cold coming on.
Yeah.
It's, you know, garlic, ginger. It looks like I didn't
hear you correctly.
Oh.
That's Alexa. Alexa, stop.
I wasn't talking to you, Alexa. elixir. She's talking about, I said elixir.
She wanted to get in on the conversation.
This isn't about you. Yeah.
It's all about Alexa.
Elixir. Going back. Okay. So it's ginger, onion, garlic.
It's a salad dressing.
Ginger, onion, garlic, lemon, hot peppers.
Olive oil in there.
Apple cider vinegar.
And olive oil. It's a dressing. Put on your salad.
You pretty much could. But besides the oil. Yeah, no oil in there. And squeeze the juice of a lemon. Put that in there in like a mason jar. You keep it in there, or a ball jar. You can just pull out like a tablespoon a couple times a day. And it's a little bit rough, but it vaporizes whatever is trying to take over your body. It's good stuff.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. But sorry. Back
so
to
no.
Your...
So getting back to Saratoga Juice Bar. So I reached out to them, and they actually reached back out to us. So Colin, I actually spoke to Colin today, who is the owner, co-founder. Him and his wife started Saratoga Juice Bar. They've been in Saratoga for a long time. And it seems really cool. They have a big juice bar in Saratoga. I guess Broadway is the main street there.
That's a cool town.
Yeah, it's I've only really been there nice once town. Or twice. You've been there. I think you spent a little more time there, right?
Mm-hmm. A couple times, yeah.
But I'd love to go to the juice bar. And actually, like, we're going to talk to him again. And too bad you couldn't be on the call.
Yeah.
But I know work calls. I know. But no, I think we'll try to hook up with him again and maybe even meet him. But I really like their juices. If you look at, they have the wellness shots, which he says these are made in California. And what I loved about it, he's explaining like for example, the wheatgrass. You know, the blends, they actually keep them at a good price point because they do the blends with other stuff. But I like that because you're getting the other stuff in there. You're not just getting like a shot of turmeric or a shot of wheatgrass. You're getting other stuff in there to kind of blend with it.
Did you know, I didn't listen to the whole interview, but did you ask him about like shipping? Like, how do they ship these cold pressed juices?
Well, he has
is it refrigerated, I guess?
It must. Yeah, it's got to be. But they ship them. He said it takes like four to 6 days. To get over, because they have made for them in California. Now, they know and they have they know the farm that gives them their product. So they actually call up and they say, oh, I want this much wheatgrass, you know, this many pounds or whatever they say. And they actually plant that much for them and they harvest it and they tell them when it's ready. And
that's so cool.
It's like really cool. Like this is coming from the actual farm and they know where it's coming from. They know the people that work there. And it's really cool to see that they know their whole little ecosystem. So I like that about that. And talking to him, I really got it. Seemed like a really nice guy. And run a pretty cool thing. The other thing I like is, so they have their juices, right? And they have like really cool recipes. And these are, you know, recipes I guess they must also have at the juice bar. But they have this line that is, where is it? Oh. It's not really, so they have cleanses, right? But what they have is juice till dinner. And this is like a pre-cleanse to get you ready for a cleanse, mm-hmm. which I really like the idea of it because instead of doing, you know, going from nothing to going to a cleanse, it's really shocking your system. You're just kind of, you know, people, you know, have a little bit more of a shock to doing a cleanse that way. Mm-hmm. And this kind of preps you leading up to a cleanse, which is kind of nice.
Oh, yeah. So that one, there's just the four juices that you have.
Right. And you have a sensible dinner. So it's not replacing everything. So you're still having regular food and you're just kind of tweaking it with this.
Yeah.
And then you go into your cleanse, which is, I guess, you're just doing full juice.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good idea. I think that's something, especially after all these fat fuck Fridays we've been having lately.
We have been having some fat fuck eating fiestas and drinking fiestas.
We're eating like a certain president is going to end the world next week.
Chris Christie.
Thanks, Obama.
Chris Christie.
Yeah, right. If he stays out of jail, ha ha, dickhead.
No, but these are really cool. I really like the little shots because they're like tiny and you just put them in stuff. So you know, Brian and I were talking about it. We're like, it kind of goes against the juicing idea, but. If I'm making a nice martini or a nice cocktail, why not use one of these high-quality juices?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
You could use non-alcoholic vodka.
Well, the thing is I'm going to drink the alcohol anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm at least getting something good in there with something. Plus, you get the flavors. Mm-hmm. These are really good tasting.
Yeah, like it's some sort of like gin and kale martini. I mean, look at, you know.
Turmeric gin blast. Boom.
Turmeric gin blast, yeah.
Martini glass up.
I think a turmeric and tequila could work really well together. That might be nice.
It would, but I don't like tequila, so that wouldn't work for me. Hot beets instead of a hot Cosmo? Beets. Hot beet Cosmo.
Hot beet Cosmo.
That wouldn't be bad.
Yeah.
Because these things taste really good. And then the juices I like. And, you know, they are lower priced than some of the other juices that I see out there. But they're actually getting distributed now. You know, they're in the Northeast Corridor. And they're looking to expand, so hopefully you'll see them out throughout the country, or maybe they'll do online shipping. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, right now it doesn't look like you can buy any of this stuff online.
No, and I just happened to find it at Fairway Market, which I usually don't go to a lot. I go once in a while, but I was in the area, and I was like, you know, had a stop at Best Buy that was near there. I was like, let me just stop in.
It was calling you.
Calling me. It was just fate.
Yeah.
Fate, and then I reached out. Guy was really cool. I told him about Crashed Ice, dude.
Yeah?
He was so interested. He's a hockey player.
Yeah, I heard from Canada. About that.
I was like, oh, too bad you and him would have talked about hockey. I don't know what his teams are. I didn't want to get into that. But, you know, hopefully it's not the Rangers. Let's put it that way. And then I'm okay. Or Philly. Anything in Philly.
Yep.
Sorry, Philly, if you're offended. But I don't know. I just don't like any team in Philly.
No comment.
No, I told him about Crashed Ice, and he was like, he never heard of it. I was like, oh, you got to watch it. That and Team MMA, if anybody's listening.
Team MMA.
I want to see Team MMA. If they would have for the fights next week, right?
Conor McGregor? The UFC at Madison Square Garden, yeah.
UFC 205 first in New York.
Yep.
That's going to be huge. That's going to be nice.
It's going to be a humdinger, as they say, yes.
One of the opening cards should be a Team MMA fight or Team UFC fight.
It's insane that it's not.
It would be such a better place if it... You know how much viewership you would have?
Dude. I know.
So anyway, we're going to, you know, big shout out to them. Thanks for speaking to me, Colin.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time to speak with Mario today. That was cool.
Yeah, you seem like a really cool guy, and we like your product, and we're going to keep in touch with you. But, that was a lot of fun to talk to him today.
Cool.
So for next podcast, I don't know, when we're doing, I think we were planning on doing Opry ski drinks. Mm-hmm. I'm going to see if I can make a cocktail with one of these.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, it might be nothing and just the juice as like to counteract. But how about a Bloody Mary? Because I don't like the tomato juice. Substitute with a high-quality juice like this.
Beet.
That'd be great.
A Beady Mary?
Beady Mary. That's fine.
Beady Mary.
It's fine.
I like it. All right. So next up. So this is big news. We got a couple of Russian stories coming up right now.
Oh, did you want me to do the...
So we always love and are fascinated by Vladimir Putin and the things that he does.
Shirt off.
Always shirt off. Horseback, shirt off.
Horseback, shirt off.
So now we have learned that we have lost Steven Seagal. He is now a citizen of Russia, the once great sheriff in Louisiana.
Did they have the Dave Chappelle, the racial draft again? I mean,
Oh, yeah. I think that's how this must have gone
down.
That's
how it must have gone down. They claimed him.
So Vladimir Putin issued a presidential decree Thursday that grants Russian citizenship to action movie star Steven Seagal, fulfilling a desire that Seagal spoke about as recently as September. Putin and Seagal are longtime friends.
Wow.
Putin and Seagal share a passion for martial arts. Seagal is an expert in Aikido, and Putin is an expert in Judo. They've appeared together at martial arts demonstrations and official events, including last year's Eastern Economic Forum in Vladivostok.
Wow.
In recent years, apparently, I had no idea about this, Seagal has emerged as an unlikely conduit between U.S. and Russian officials.
Wow.
So we got Dennis Rodman between U.S. and North Korea, and we have Steven Seagal between the U.S. and Russia.
Oh, we had, who is it for Iraq?
Kumar from
Harold and
Kumar. He was something.
Crap, when they were like talking Iraq and I can't believe I'm blocking it.
We got Sean Penn talking to El Chapo.
Oh, El Chapo. where is El Chapo now?
He's hiding in some tube somewhere. I think didn't they arrest him?
I'm pretty sure they arrested him.
They have El Chapo, yeah.
Or so they think.
Allegedly.
Is a tunnel where he used to be.
This is El Mapo.
He's like Dig Dug guy. He just tunnels out of everywhere.
That's what he does.
It's freaking crazy, man.
Yeah. God, that video of him like going to the bathroom and just jumping in that tunnel, that was so great.
Ah, that's crazy.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, I don't know who the... Was someone in Iraq?
It was... Oh, God, he's famous. What am I talking about? Anyway, we'll come back to it. I'll remember it in like, 5 minutes.
So yeah, so Seagal is now.
Did they fight against each other in like a kumite?
They must have.
That'd be good. Sweep the leg, Steven.
Original MMA. Putin and Seagal back in like the 80s.
Can you imagine they like to fight? They fight it out for like territory?
Mm-hmm.
Like we want the north and northern whatever, northern sea. All right, yeah. Let's fight it out. You and Seagal, go hand in hand.
Yeah. So apparently Seagal follows other Western celebrities with an affinity for Putin's machismo in receiving Russian citizenship.
Jesse Jackson.
Oh, stop it.
No, he went to Iraq. Remember the whole thing?
Nope.
Oh, you don't remember?
Nope.
It's just like El Chapo.
So yeah, so other Western celebrities that have been granted citizenship, Roy Jones Jr. and French actor Gerard Depardieu.
What?
This is all news to me.
Roy Jones Jr.?
Roy Jones Jr. Former U.S. Olympian Roy Jones Jr.
Wow.
Terrible. So, wow. Yeah. So, congratulations, Steven Seagal, on your Russian citizenship.
So, is he Russian now? Like, he can just go in and out of Russia whenever he wants?
He's half douche, half Russian? Like, I don't know. Like, how does this work?
I guess you can have dual citizenship if the other country wants to give you citizenship, right? Yeah. So he's like dual citizen. That's pretty well.
That's pretty cool.
He's traveling. Are you traveling with your Russian passport or your U.S. passport today, Mr. Seagal?
I've got both. Check under all these McDonald's wrappers. So yeah. So enjoy, Mr. Seagal. That's pretty fantastic news.
I mean, I don't know. Is it congratulations or I'm sorry? Like, I don't know what to say.
I'd say congratulations.
I guess congratulations. He has another passport.
He's opening doors.
He has a second passport.
Maybe he's just a plant for the CIA.
He's a double agent.
I could definitely see that. He had the goatee, so it's like the evil Seagal.
He's the evil Seagal, and he's got the squinty eyes. He looks a little shifty. Yeah. I don't know. Looks like he's hiding something.
Definitely.
Then he's fat. Then he's skinny. I don't know. I don't know who he is.
Yep.
You don't know which Steven you're looking at.
He's like the master of disguise.
That's right. It could be somebody in a fat suit. It could be real Steven Seagal. You don't know.
We have no idea.
No idea.
And we'll only know when it's too late.
Is Vladimir Putin real? You think he's a real person?
Oh, no way.
I think he's a hologram.
I don't think he even exists. I've never seen him in person. He could be fake.
They just hold up like flat pictures of him.
A couple of mirrors.
And they just hold him up and, yep, that's Putin. They have a lookalike that looks like he used to.
Weekend at Vladdy's?
Weekend at Vladdy's. Oh. Oh, isn't that what they did with Stalin? I mean, with Lenin?
I think so, yeah.
They had him, like preserved. Like, that was crazy.
Yeah, there was some interesting stuff going on back then.
Yeah, a lot of stuff going.
All right,
so keeping with Russia, there's a Russian tattoo model that creates awesome ski masks. Balaclavas, you got to see these. Hit the link, go online. Teya Salat is already a successful tattoo model from St. Petersburg, Russia, but she's young. She's 24 years old, and she's an entrepreneur. She actually has been designing some really cool balaclava pieces that not only keep you warm, but they look pretty awesome. So some of the ones she has, I mean, Brian, these are cool. Like, they have the cat one. It looks freaking, like, 3D and awesome.
They're super realistic looking.
Yeah.
Yeah, her name is Teya Salat.
Yeah.
So if you go to her website, it's TEYASALAT.com. She has some crazy ink too.
They have the frowny cat one. That looks awesome.
Yeah.
It's like a pissed off cat just with goggles on. It's like, is that a person or a cat? It looks lifelike. I mean, they have the one with the creepy smile guy. I mean, they look pretty real.
And then I don't know if you saw these because they're on her website. They have like Mortal Kombat ones. They have like Scorpion and Sub-Zero.
Oh, that's awesome. I see the Scorpion.
They have a Heisenberg. It's like a yellow one with like a respirator, it looks like.
Oh, we got to get those.
These are pretty awesome.
Ski down and...
They have like an Iron Man one. There are a lot of different ones.
They are really
cool.
There's
like Darth Vader. There's Stormtroopers. It's Megatron.
Like, it's like high quality artwork done where... It looks really 3D where the curve of your face is going to be.
Yeah, it's wearable artwork.
It is wild.
There's some really cool ones, yeah. It's like a shark, like a lizard.
The Leo ones, they got the snow Leo, the blue Leo, the pink Leo.
Mm-hmm.
With the little fangs and everything.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild. Yeah, these are going to have to happen this year.
These are pretty dope. This is almost as cool as your Cthulhu mask costume.
Oh, Cthulhu's still going to come out. Cthulhu.
It was too hot, right?
It was too hot. I overheat anyway, and I was just sweating so bad.
That thing was pretty awesome, though.
And it's like, it's wool, so I'm like just sweating my balls off.
For the 5 minutes you wore it, it was awesome.
It was cool. It actually felt comfortable when I wasn't skiing, like just walking around. So like that's something I'd wear around town next time, maybe, you know. But yeah, that was pretty cool. These are pretty cool, too. Of course, you know, I see all these really cool ones, and I'm going to get the stupid frowny cat one, you know. I'm going to be the frowny cat guy.
Yeah. I like the Sub-Zero one. That one's pretty awesome. It's crazy because they look like they're made of metal or plastic, but it's really just...
You see the Green Goblin? It's creepy as shit, man.
It is really creepy.
You can wear that for Halloween. Just be like, yep, this is it.
Yep.
That's all I got to do. Wear this mask.
Yeah, you can go to... it's balaclava-shop.com, and you can find these products there. They're pretty awesome.
These are pretty cool.
Alpha top model. Beast with ears. There's all different kinds of them.
Oh, they have doggy ones. The doggy ones look so real.
Are you on the ones with... There's ones with ears, too. So there's like tiger ones with ears and pandas and foxes, raccoons.
That's awesome.
These are so freaking funny looking.
Now, I don't know.
A panther.
Oh, I don't know if it's just Europe, but every time we've skied Europe, people dress up in like full out costumes and they go skiing. So like, and they do like witty things. Like we would see like a banana here, two bananas there, like people dress as bananas. And then we'd see them at happy hour and there's like 9 bananas and a gorilla. So it's like, it's awesome. These people plan out like what they're going to do.
Yeah.
And then we had the leprechauns all over.
Oh, the leprechauns and Ishkill. They were awesome.
Ah, it was great. But they love dressing up in Europe and, you know, I like it. It's pretty funny.
I think as soon as they get wind of these things, they're going to be all over it.
This would go perfectly with, like, just a little costume you put the hat on.
They have a Grumpy Cat one.
Grumpy Cat. That's the one. I'm going to be Grumpy Cat.
I love it. Oh, man. There's so many. Like, there's, like, all these creepy skulls.
Yeah, the skulls are pretty creepy.
Yeah, the clowns.
Oh, the clown one. The snowman. You see the snowman?
Yeah, the crocodile face.
Croc face.
These are weird. These are awesome. Very cool stuff.
Yeah, it's good to see, like, you know, something simple you can make. It's a good entrepreneurial opportunity.
Yeah, trying something different. Very cool. Very cool artwork.
She's smart and beautiful. Boom.
It has a crazy-ass tattoo.
Yeah, all over her neck, right?
Yeah.
Talk about neck tattoo. But that's like a tribal-looking one.
It looks like jewelry almost.
Yeah.
Like she's wearing some sort of... You know, like Egyptian jewelry or something.
It's the first and probably last time I'll say it. Actually, it's a neck tattoo, but it looks classy.
It's a classy neck tattoo.
It actually looks like a decorative, sweater or something like that she's wearing.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Good stuff.
Things you could do in Russia.
Yeah.
Now, is she sponsored by Putin? I don't know. You never know.
Could be Putin's daughter.
Does Steven Seagal have some of those balaclavas? I don't know.
Why isn't there a Steven Seagal balaclava?
They should be. You could look like Steven Seagal.
You could look like Steven Seagal.
With the goatee.
Yes, of course.
Oh, I'm going to write to her.
That would be awesome.
I'm going to write to her. I'm going to tell her, where's the Steven Seagal balaclava? or the Vladimir Putin one. Ooh, I want to look like Putin.
That would be cool.
Then you could go with bare chest on a horse wearing your balaclava to make you look like Putin. Awesome.
I love it. So are you taking this last story? It's right up your alley.
All right. So last story, we always leave you with a good humdinger.
Something to ponder the next week.
Something to ponder. So there's still a lot to look into the story, but I'm not going to dig into this one. It's gonna lay where it lays. Let's put it that way. So patient's fart sparks a fire that burns her during surgery. So in Tokyo,
I'm sorry. Can you say that one more time? That's a little bit strange, and I may have missed a word or two.
A patient's fart sparks a fire that burns her during surgery.
No, I heard every word. Okay,
you heard it right. Yep. So they're saying a woman's flatulence is being blamed for a fire that caused significant burns to her body during a surgical procedure in Tokyo. So what happened? I guess she was having laser surgery done on her cervix. So I guess everything was happening down there, downtown. And they had the laser going. And all of a sudden, there was like a puff of like just burning, you know, fire going on. So they're saying they did a whole investigation. It burned her waist and legs. I mean, that's pretty bad. You know, you get an actual burn. And she was probably out. So she's, you know, she wakes up out of anesthesia and all of a sudden, what the hell? But they said there were no flammable materials in the operating room. And they're saying the equipment was functioning normal. So they're saying she had flatulence, which ignited the methane gas, ignited with the laser and caused her to get burned. So don't know if they have a video of that. Don't know if they're what they're doing, but Tokyo can handle that. They could have investigators do whatever they need to do. It's just pretty interesting. Things that you never think are going to happen.
So are we sure that like Godzilla didn't sneak in and like just kind of like prank them?
Just a little gotcha.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Godzilla pranking?
Maybe somebody else was joking around and they lit their own.
Yeah.
And, you know, something happened. I don't know.
Yeah, it's saying the patient's intestinal gas leaked into the space of the operating room, ignited with the irritation of the laser, and the burning spread, eventually reaching the surgical drape and causing the fire.
Jeez.
Whoa.
So I don't know if they told her, like, you're not supposed to usually eat a lot of stuff before surgery, and maybe chili's not a good idea.
Taco Bell before surgery. Taco Bell. Horrible idea.
Maybe Chipotle, the supersized burrito is not a good thing to eat. Yeah. Maybe Fat Fuck Friday before you go to surgery. Not a good idea.
Terrible.
IPAs. There's a whole list of stuff that you probably shouldn't eat.
All terrible.
Yeah. Terrible.
Oh, man. That's, it's a funny, but like terrible story.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
Wow. So I don't know what Steven Seagal thinks about that, but.
And why couldn't it have been him?
Yeah. Or Putin.
Or Putin. Yeah. But no. And to be this poor lady in Japan.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just when you think you're safe.
Just when it was safe to go into the knife. All right. So I guess that about wraps up for the week, huh?
It sure does.
All right. Cool. Thank you guys so much for listening. We really appreciate it. Please, again, go onto your favorite podcast subscription app and subscribe, and if you could go rate us, we'd really appreciate it. And check out all of our information at skibumpodcast.com. Send us an email, skibumpodcast@gmail.com, twitter.com/skibumpodcast, instagram.com/skibumpodcast, facebook.com/skibumpodcast, or find us on Pinterest, the highfalutins. So thank you guys again. We really appreciate it. And we will see you guys next week.
Stay high, stay polluting.
See you.